This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Great breakup on that play by Thompson, who has the puck, scores again! Tage Thompson, that is full TNT mode in Dallas. He helped break up the play at the Sabres line, gets up ice, and the Sabres lead it 4-1 in Dallas.
One of the good roster decisions made by Team USA, Tage Thompson. Dan Dunleavy on the call there. The Sabres will look to make it 11 in a row today against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Sabres are on a tear. One may even say they're on a warpath. And they picked the worst year to do it, I think.
Why?
Well, the rest of the Atlantic Division is just as chaotic.
Yeah, but isn't that a good thing? Like, you're able to jump easier, all that? Like, it's not solidified?
Yes, but also, as Travis Yost will be able to confirm with me here, the Sabres are also 3 points back of last place in the Atlantic Division. Travis, good afternoon to you. It's good to talk with you again. It's Derek and Joe here on a Sports Talk Saturday. First of all, welcome back in. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. How you guys doing?
Oh, you know, we're hanging out here, Travis. And the last time we talked, you know, we keep getting into the chaotic ideas. And oddly enough, this is the second show that I've had to talk to you, though, about Jason Robertson.
That is quite the coincidence. It's just dawning on me that, yeah, the last time we talked about Robo. Yeah, he is certainly the topic of the week, is he not? I went on a bit of a rant yesterday. I think there's, when you talk about roster decisions, Team Canada, Team USA, even the Swedish and Finnish rosters, there's always debate at the margins. This is one, leaving Robertson off the USA lineup, I can't think of a recent comp in the last decade or so that seems crazier than this. And like, yeah, the core of the Team USA lineup is as talented as maybe as it's been in 20, 30 years, and they still should be able to compete with Canada for a gold medal and, you know, blah, blah, blah. The defense looks good. The goaltending looks fantastic. They have plenty of talent in the forward group, but you would be hard-pressed to find six players on this roster better than Jason Robertson, and Bill Guerin, they decided to leave him home.
It was quite the decision, Travis, and I think that it's one where I'm just as puzzled, just as upset, I would say, is probably the right word for it, because, you know, Tage Thompson being left off the Four Nations along with Robertson last year, it was already baffling enough. And then I'm like, okay, are they really going to do it again? Well, halfway they did. Tage Thompson, though, does make the roster. He is part of Team USA now, and I think they at least corrected one of the errors.
They did. Now I'm gonna. This, I think, it's a bit of a two-sided coin. So I put a few thoughts into this. Number one, there's no doubt in my mind that Tage Thompson's size and positional versatility probably gave himself a little bit more of an advantage, to say nothing of, you know, his overall production the last few years and his clear offensive talent. I think those things are obvious, but the versatility and flexibility you definitely do want across the lineup, especially in a very tight, you know, round robin and advance type format like this. Your margin of error is pretty thin, so I thought bringing Thompson back into the fold made a ton of sense. He adds a dynamic that Team USA doesn't really necessarily have in spades. I mean, they've got, you know, Eichel is kind of that player, but he's also a different skill set. Matthews is kind of that player, but he's also a different skill set. But, you know, net on net, if you go down the forward group, I think there's like maybe five forwards that you, without hesitation, take over Robertson. Maybe you get to six before it's like, I'm not sure at this point. And that's the part that's puzzling to me. Something that I think is just out. This is the part where I disagree with Team USA, kind of getting into it a little bit more thoroughly. I appreciate the roster building component of this. Like, not everyone is going to be just a sniper, right? You've got to have a sum of the parts greater than the whole type setup. And that doesn't mean necessarily picking, you know, the 18 or the 20 best skaters and the three, or you should be picking the three best goalies, but it's not just a talent competition, right? There's fit and chemistry. And I do have time for that, but you know, over the last 5 years, Jason Robertson has scored all of 15 less goals than Connor McDavid in 5 years. That's the sort of scoring touch you think you would want across the Team USA team that, for as good as they looked at Four Nations, at the end of the day, they couldn't score when the going got tough. And I worry that they are, for as good as they are on the blue line, I think better than Canada. For as good as they are in net, I think they have clearly the best goaltending group in the entire competition. You know, Team Canada's forwards are an absolute Goliath, and you've got to have some degree of counterpunch and firepower within your offensive group. And depth guys like JT Miller and Vinny Trocheck, they're good players, but do they bring more to the table than a Robertson or a Thompson? In my opinion, it's not even debatable, but at least they got Tage back into the fold.
Travis Yost of TSN joining us here on the Westshore Hotline. Travis, you mentioned Canada, and I did like a lot of what they did. They were not scared to blink twice when a 19-year-old Macklin Celebrini is atop the top five in NHL scoring. They said, we don't care that you're 19. You're putting up production. You're on the team. I was also impressed with the switch of Sam Bennett for Tom Wilson. Wilson, for his reputation, he is putting points up. And again, as you mentioned, the oomph and the punch that they're able to put up on the scoreboard, they still even showed that by swapping out Bennett for Wilson.
Yeah, and even there, you know, even with the Team Canada roster, and I think, you know, kind of likening this to Robertson, I thought Robertson, that's like two levels above snub. I don't know what you call that. But, you know, the Canada, I think the margins were a little bit more debatable. Obviously, leaving Bennett at home, a bit controversial. I think there was a little controversy, too, with leaving Mark Scheifele at home, more of the veteran. You know, almost like the Team USA Brock Nelson edition of the Team Canada lineup. And, you know, Scheifele's still a really productive and talented player. But, you know, it goes to show you just how deep their forward group is over at Canada, where you can leave guys like Scheifele and Bennett at home and really not be worse for the wear. One other name that I thought, again, snub, debatable. Like, I think I have more time for the counter-argument here, but I was a little surprised they did leave Evan Bouchard at home. You know, Evan Bouchard is the classic, hey, I see that guy once or twice, you know, a week with one of the most terrific turnovers you'll see. And I think that's fair. But you're also talking about not just one of the most offensive gifted defensemen probably in the last 10 or 12 years or so. Certainly, you know, if he's not Cal Makar and, you know, and Quinn Hughes, he's maybe at, you know, a one cut below those guys. And you'd think, okay, Canada, where their talent skews very aggressively to the forward group, was it a bit surprising that Bouchard couldn't beat out a Travis Sanheim, for example, for a roster spot on the blue line? I think that was an interesting debate. I think it was likely closer than maybe Team Canada's even publicly let on. And again, I think there's an argument for, hey, look, we can't afford a higher risk, high reward type player when we know best on best, we may have the most talented roster, you know, speaking from Team Canada's perspective. So I think there's a little bit of nuance there that, okay, if Bouchard's not going to kill penalties and he's not my power play one quarterback like Makar is going to be, maybe there's not a perfect fit for him. But I, if nothing else, I thought he certainly earned it. And then again, Scheifele, Bennett, a couple other guys. I mean, Team Canada just goes very, very deep in the talent pool. You're always going to have some guys at the margins here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Travis, focusing a little bit on the Sabres here, Derek mentioned in the last segment they're on a 10-game bender as of late, right? And yeah. Everyone's kind of waiting for the hangover to inevitably come, especially, I mean, they're tied for their franchise record 10-game streak, and the last time it happened, they went on quite the slide afterwards. I do think this is a different team. But what's the national perspective or international perspective on the Sabres right now? Does everyone kind of think they're on a war path and they've kind of figured themselves out?
So as someone who gets like 25 things wrong a day, we were joking about this a month ago, but I was unlucky enough to have went to the Bills-Texans game in Houston, and I was on with, I think, Shope and Bulldog the following week, and they asked me, I'm paraphrasing this, but they asked me basically like, where are you at on the Bills and where are you at on the Sabres? And those are really two different comparisons with two very different goals, respectively, I think, from where they are organizationally. But I was both so concerned about the Bills roster, but also so encouraged by what I had seen from the Sabres on the ice this year, and this is before the winning streak, that coupled with a really, really weak Atlantic division that you guys were talking about at the top, I saw a real path for the Sabres. And yeah, let's be clear here. A lot of good luck and fortune to say something like that, and then here comes a 10-game win streak. But, you know, the reality of the Sabres for the last two and a half years, and we've talked about this, is they are a very competitive, even strength team. And the core limitation that this team has had over the past few years has really been in net. I mean, the goaltending has been an atrocity at different points. Really through long stretches of the playoff drought, but even recently as they've gotten more competitive at 5-on-5, it's been the goaltending that's really hindered them. And, you know, one of the diamond in the rough signings that I think, and he's dealing with a lower body injury right now, but Alex Lyon's been very solid for the Sabres. Luukkonen has started to bounce back a little bit in the past, I would say, month to 6 weeks or so. I think he's put together a few games during this 10-game win streak that have been much more encouraging than what we've seen previous. But all this to say, it looks like still the relatively high up-tempo team that can really score like a top 10, top 12 team at even strength that we've seen for the last two, three seasons. The difference is the Sabres are getting pretty good goaltending, and where it is notably outsized, and I mentioned this, I think, about a week ago, the key thing that's driving this winning streak, and it's a little, you know, you got to apportion different elements to each segment here, but one of the big tailwinds that they've had during this winning streak is the penalty kill has been absurd. I mean, you're talking about arguably the most productive penalty kill in terms of fewest goals conceded that you can find in the National Hockey League, and, you know, a testament to the defense in front, but the goaltending has really come around. One other thing I would add to this, too, and why I kind of agree with your point about, I don't think this is just going to evaporate. When we were doing – every August, it's a great way for me to prep for the season, but it's also a great time to, you know, cover – getting back into hockey mode. Every August, I do a Talent Tiers. It's like a month-long series of write-ups over at TSN where I grade every single projected depth chart – wingers, centers, defensemen, goaltenders, and organizational structure. And one of the more controversial, I hear every argument under the sun from every fan base. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm horribly wrong. One of the common pushbacks I got when talking about the blue line was I thought both the Ottawa Senators and the Buffalo Sabres had two of the, I don't know, eight or nine best blue lines in the NHL. And I think maybe eight is being fairly liberal. I think it could be six, seven. And the argument I always made was don't mistake goaltending with defensive prowess, right? The Sabres, as well as the Senators, in my opinion, can go three quality pairings deep. And the question, I think more so in Buffalo than Ottawa at the time, because Linus Ullmark was coming off a good season last year, was if the Sabres can just get average goaltending, they've got a really talented blue line in front of them. They can make this work, you know, be an average team defensively, and they've got the personnel and talent to be above average offensively. And turns out that actually turned out to be a little bit more true in a good way for the Sabres than the Senators over in Ottawa, another division rival, and another team that's helped kind of pave the path to this opportunity for Buffalo. Ottawa's goaltending has been a nightmare, arguably the worst in the league. Linus Ullmark's having a horrifying season. Their backup, Marilainen, has not been very good, whereas contrast that with Buffalo, they've gotten pretty solid play from both Lyon and Lukanen, and certainly over the past month to 6 weeks, one of the league's best penalty kills. And again, if you're bullish about where this team is offensively, you just really need them to be an average defensive and goaltending group to qualify for the playoffs, doubly so in the weaker conference and certainly the weakest of the four divisions. I think there's very good reason to remain bullish about the Sabres here and think that this could be the year that they actually snap the playoff drought.
Travis Yost, TSN, joining us here on the Western Hotline. Travis, it is kind of interesting that, you know, we're bullish on the Sabres. Everything's looking good for them. And yet, this is also a team that fired their general manager midway through this winning streak. Or not midway, but at the beginning of their winning streak here. But yep. I'm also balancing my point on this with Kevin Adams. I think that he will get the rightful credit that he deserves for putting a roster together. But also, I do find it that it was a guy that also did end up with multiple reasons to be ultimately let go. And it's the pass and the inaction from him that ultimately leads to him not being able to really savor in what the Sabres are doing right now.
Yeah, I think it's well said. And, you know, going back, ironically, bringing up Ottawa 5 minutes ago, I think you could have made the similar points about Pierre Dorion and even Eugene Melnyk in many years past. You know, they've built a talented roster that, you know, after a near decade-long painful rebuild where there was plenty of criticism about why is this taking so long, why can they not pull out of the depths, you know, they finally snapped their playoff drought last year. And bringing this back to the Sabres here, I think it's fair to say, look at this lineup, look at this roster. There is a lot of not just good veteran talent, guys like Thompson and Tuck, but there's a lot of good young talent that has now developed into NHL caliber top six, top nine forwards, and top four defensive players. And you have to give credit to someone as crazy as it sounds, because you just fired him. Adams deserves a little bit of that credit, but I think there's two compelling counterarguments as to why he doesn't deserve all that much and why he's, you know, effectively unemployed as the team, you know, surges here through the standings. The first is, I think there's a very good argument, going back to the goaltending discussion, that the Sabres' drought should have ended two-ish years ago. The goaltending position, for as much as they did at the skater level, this has been a tire fire for years in the Buffalo organization. And, you know, we talk a lot in NHL circles about, you know, good coaches, bad coaches, and average coaches all alike have gotten fired for goaltending capitulation and goaltending failures. GM's a little bit less so, but I think Adams uniquely or disproportionately has to kind of wear the heavy crown of I'd never figured out the goaltending situation. And even right now, you know, you can, let's say you're hopeful about what Lyon and what this is. I would say the triumvirate of Buffalo goaltenders have done this year. Is this a long-term stable group that you can bet on over the next 3-4 years? Of course not. Half these guys need contracts, right? So the goaltending position is still a question mark for the Sabres organization. I think Adams wears that. The other piece too is, like, I think there were several moves that Adams made or didn't make over his tenure that stuck with ownership. And when you look around the league, how many points do you really get for building a talented young roster when you have so many bites at the apple, where you're always picking high in the draft, you're always trading, you're always a seller at the trade deadline, securing more picks, more prospects? Innately, that's the whole point of the hard salary cap in draft and develop league, is like, it's very hard to be bad forever. And quite frankly, that's why Adams, I think still wears that reputation or that component of it, which is the Sabres still have not snapped this playoff drought. And despite what we may like around this roster, until they actually cross that playoff threshold and play in a game 83, that's effectively what he's going to be remembered for in Buffalo.
And I think, Travis, further to that point, though, of like, business is not finished, no matter what we like about them. I do think that the Atlantic Division has been weird enough, but furthermore, they dug themselves out of one heck of a hole when it comes to it, because they've won 10 straight,
yep,
and they've only gotten themselves to fourth in the division. Typically, with a win streak like that, you tend to rocket yourself into a different stratosphere, and the Sabres still have yet to do that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think a lot of that speaks to the hole they did dig themselves out of. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, the some of that was, the Sabres did not have exactly a great run of injury luck. You had the Norris injuries, Dahlin missed time. You know, there were guys in and out of the lineup fairly regularly through October and November, but the Sabres are pretty healthy right now. And the other thing I would say, and why I'd be optimistic about where the Sabres are, if you look at the Atlantic Division, they are clearly the second-best team by goal differential in the Atlantic. And, yeah, they are 7 goals better than the current division-leading Detroit Red Wings. The only team that has actually outperformed in the Atlantic all year are the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think they're 28 or 29 goals better than the opposition on the year. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is on the treadmill of mediocrity. And, yeah, eye of the beholder, right? Are the Sabres the team that was dreadful for the first 6 weeks? I don't think so. Are the Sabres the team that can win every single night, all night, every night? You know, but no, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. But again, this is the weakest of the four divisions. And you're talking about a Sabres team here that is about to cross the halfway point of the regular season. And if I told you, hey guys, WGR team, in the second week of January at the halfway point of the regular season, the Buffalo Sabres are going to have a better goal differential than the Edmonton Oilers, Vegas Golden Knights, and Toronto Maple Leafs, what would you have said? And yet that's unequivocally where they're at right now. So I think there are more reasons than not to be optimistic for the first time in a long time about this team. And while, yeah, maybe there's some good, sentiment around, okay, we finally finally overhauled the front office. It was a long-term change. It was long overdue. We needed to make that change. I think that's more on the periphery. This is more about, this is a relatively talented roster, and so long, million-dollar question, so long as the goaltending holds up, there is really no reason for, within this division, the Sabres cannot finish inside of the top three. I still feel that to this day.
Travis, before we wrap things up here, just a quick question. You mentioned you went to the Bills-Houston game, unfortunately. But the final game at Highmark Stadium, final regular season game, could be the final game, depending on how playoff seeding plays out, is coming up this weekend. Do you, if you've been to the stadium, do you have any memory that sticks out to you, or were you able to make it out here at all?
Oh, yeah. I've been to a bunch of games at Highmark. Last game I went to, actually, I've been to a few in the last couple of years, but the last Bills home game I went to, actually was probably one of the best memories I had, because it was the most picturesque, I think it was week two or week four last season when they played Miami, and the Dolphins were not a joke yet at this time. They still had a pretty reputable offense. And yeah, it was like a classic, like ho-hum, like the Bills scored 40 on the Dolphins. And, it was just a scoring affair of the highest order, Allen going up and down the field. But all I remember about the game, I've been to some just rough, rough winter, nasty weather, cold rain games, snow games, and those are incredible for different reasons once you get into the environment and with the fans. But this was like the most picturesque 72-degree, the absolute sublime part of Buffalo fall weather, coupled with the Bills going up and down the field all over the Dolphins. Went up there with my buddy, who is, I'm from Long Island. He's out from Long Island. And, I almost that day, the Bills were so good, so entertaining, and the city so out for the Bills that week, that random week four game or whatever it was. I damn near converted him to become a Bills fan overnight. So that's one of my, lasting memories that I'm going to go out with. And, very, very strong goal. I did not get to get up to a home game this year, but very strong goal is to see the new stadium next year under those beautiful seats, so I don't have to shovel snow out of my seat. So I'm excited for that, boys.
Yeah, there haven't been people do that this weekend. So.
One last ride.
Yeah.
Travis, always appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on here again with us. And the next time we talk, maybe it won't center around Jason Robertson.
Yeah, let's hope not. Unless he traded at the deadline.
Actually, yes, let's hope we are talking about Jason Robertson, maybe to Buffalo. I'm back to my dreams.
Sabres acquire him at the deadline on his expiring deal. Wouldn't be the craziest thing, huh?
I would be doing backflips, Travis. I may fail at doing them, but I might be doing them at that point. But take care, and we'll talk soon, man.
Take care, guys.
That's Travis Yosef, TSN, on the Western Hotline. Sabres looking to make it 11 in a row. We talked some Olympic rosters as well. A little bit of Bills memories sprinkled in there for Highmark Stadium as well. And that's where we'll end up turning it all to you. Coming up here, 803-0550 is the number to call. If you've got anything on the Sabres, you've got anything on Highmark Stadium, now's the time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll end the segment taking Paul in Buffalo. Paul, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, guys. I guess I'll start real quick with my stadium memory, which, of course, is going to be the NHL Winter Classic.
Mm-hmm.
The older I get, the more I appreciate Sidney Crosby. If you want to tell me he's the greatest hockey player who ever lived, I really can't argue it. There's a couple guys, Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, obviously. But if you had to build a perfect hockey player in a laboratory, you're coming out with Sidney Crosby every single time. There is no flaw to his game. There has been no flaw to his game in 20 years, and it's a privilege to watch him. But, of course, he broke my heart at the Winter Classic because
right.
That's what he does.
That's what he does. He did it in the Olympics, too. You know, no big deal. Maybe he'll do it again.
God. He has broken Sabre fans' heart of this generation. I mean, he beat Ryan Miller like a drum Ryan Miller's entire career. That period stop.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Crosby owned him, whether it was on Team USA or for the Buffalo Sabres. But moving on to the freight train going down the tracks that are the Buffalo Sabres, the game against the Dallas Stars was the most tenacious forecheck I have seen from Buffalo Sabre forwards in 15 years. After that game, I stood up and said, this is Buffalo Sabre hockey. This team has an identity. They forecheck like dogs. Peyton Krebs got that dog in him. Jordan Greenway got that dog in him. Dunn and Doan got that dog in him. And the biggest dog of them all, Tage Thompson, who if you get in his way, he'll beat you up. He will go behind your net, own the puck because he's too big for you to get it off him, and just put a sweet old sauce on his line mate's stick. He will fire a shot that maybe him, David Pastrnak, and Leon Draisaitl can fire in all the world and beat your goalie like a fool. He will just own the puck and rush the net and create rebounds. That's a guy with dog in him. Our captain's got dog in him. Matias Samuelson's got that dog in him again. This team is a lunch pail group. It's a bunch of dogs, and they're going to eat some little puppies in Columbus up this afternoon. Boys, let's go. I'm looking for a 5-1 win today. Have a great show.
Paul, thanks. And I will say, you forgot the biggest dog of them all. Zach Benson.
Yeah.
Zach Benson is the certified dog.
Yep. Certified dog. Don't condone cannibalism, though. Don't eat puppies.
Don't eat puppies. Maybe some dog chow. Dog chow. Let's go with that. How's that? They'll come up and eat some puppy chow today. How's that?
Yeah.
There we go. 803-0550 is the number to call. If you want to talk anything, memories of Highmark Stadium, as this is probably the last chance that we're going to see football in that building, let it out. Because it's always good to let the memories go on here. We've had a fun with that back on Wednesday, back on Friday. We'll keep doing that here throughout the rest of the weekend before the Bills take on the Jets. So we'll shift a little bit to football coming up here on Sports Talk Saturday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.